Jumping, praise God. Come on, let's give God a hand, praise. It's good to be in God's house, amen, church. I am thrilled to just have this opportunity. Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know, my name is Eli Hernandez, and I'm the outreach pastor at this church, and it's an honor to serve you guys all. I pray that this morning, today's message will minister to your hearts and to your souls. As always, I want to send our pastor, Dr., the Right Reverend, Dr. David Anderson, greetings, and I'm honored to be on your team and to do ministry with you and do life with you. I love you, and I can't wait till you come back next week from your sabbatical. Anybody else ready for him to come back? Really, that's it? Three of y'all? Y'all ready to come back? Pastor, we ready. We ready, Pastor. So, church, have you ever had to reset a phone or a computer or some type of device? I don't know much of technology, but I know enough to know that every now and then I get frustrated at whatever tech device I have. And I go through a series of things. I start deleting things. I start reprogramming things. I try to fix different things. But every now and then I get to a point where I need some help, because I don't know enough about technology to try to fix the problem myself. So I end up calling tech support. And usually after going for a long time of waiting on the call, please press 5 for tech support or whatever it is, you finally get on the phone and they tell you, well, we need to do a factory reset. Well, I know how to do that. Not really. But you think, I could have done that. I know how to do a factory reset. And there's a difference between a soft reset and a factory reset. A soft reset is just restarting your device. You know, you turn it off, you turn it back on, and sometimes it works, right? But a factory reset, it's a software restore of an electronic device to its original state of existing. It removes data, settings, applications previously installed on that device to get it to the point where it's not functioning. And sometimes I think about our spiritual lives, and I think that every now and then, we keep doing the soft reset. Go to sleep, wake up, turn on, turn off. But every now and then, God wants us to go deeper. Every now and then, God wants us to call for help. Call unto me, all those who are tired and weary, and I will give you rest. Every now and then, you have to call for some support, for somebody to step in. And every now and then, you just have to reboot, restart your entire operating system. As I prayed in preparation for today's message, I kept hearing the word reset in my spirit. Reset, start over when it's time to start over. Anybody ever felt like that? Yeah. Every now and then, the device is just working slow. I'm not as sharp as I used to be. I may be distracted. Sometimes these pop-ups, these sins, they just keep popping up. Sometimes it's little, I have to keep pressing the X to delete certain things out of my system or for the device to function. And sometimes in my life, I need to do certain things to get in order. With that in mind, I would love you to open up your Bibles to Psalms 51. This is a hard Psalms to preach about. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. But the Lord would not let me stop. I couldn't get past this. And then the other day when I thought, I don't know how many of you have preached before, but every now and then you start saying, am I supposed to preach that or should I just start over? I think I want to preach another message. And the Spirit of God is like, no. Yeah. Well, that one is not that popular, Lord. Let me find somebody that thinks something that people are going to get excited about. Like, Lord, no, I need you to stay here. So today, if y'all give me permission, I'm going to press in on some stuff that the Spirit of God has been putting in my heart. And I want you to be receptive to whatever the Spirit of God is doing in your life. If I'm one of your pastors, you would have to trust that I'm trying to bring you along and to draw you closer to Jesus. And while I'm doing that to myself too, by the way, right? And so sometimes doing that means sometimes hearing things that are a bit tough. What an introduction. You still love me already? Psalms 51:1, it goes the following. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassions, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and have done evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be cleansed. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of the salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that the sinners will turn back to you. Fast forward to verse 16. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in offerings. My sacrifice to you, O God, is a broken and contrite heart. God will not despise. Thank you, Lord, for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. This psalm was written by David, when the King David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. It deals with David's sins. It deals with his confessions, repentance, spiritual restoration. It deals with matters of the heart. And it deals with the fear of losing the presence of God. I don't know about you, but if I am honest, I can say that I have had many experiences in my 30 plus years of serving the Lord in which I resonate with David's story in this book. Many years of messing up, of confessing, repenting, being restored in front of my enemies, having a broken and contrite heart, having shame, having guilt, being distanced from God. I've been through all that series. I've been through all my ups and downs in my 30 plus years of serving the Lord. And I'm not afraid to share that. Because sometimes we come to God with the PG-13 version of our faith. We come to God with as if we were born holy and as we got everything in order and as if he's doing him a favor. When in reality, the truth of the matter is we're all broken. We're all a mess. And we've been through enough hell in our lives that we can really come to God with this type of humbleness and this type of simplicity and this type of authenticity. I've been through all of that, but I also know what it is to when David says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High would rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, I've had moments of brokenness and moments of hell, but I have had also moments of victories and moments of glories. The truth of the matter is that a spiritual walk, there is a lot of ups and downs. And if I'm going to be honest with you, the truth is I learn more in my downs than I do than when I'm in my ups. The truth of the matter is that when I'm broken, when I'm hurting, when I'm crying, when I'm agonizing, when I sin, when I'm in this dangerous place of my life, is usually the place where the Spirit of God dwells most in me. And it's usually the place where the presence of God is tugging at me a little bit more. And it's usually the place where I hear clearer through the voice of the Spirit. Sometimes we just want to do it when it's all beautiful. But what about when it's not? On one occasion, I was having a ministerial debate with a buddy of mine, and he said something along these lines. Don't quote me for the exact words, but I kind of, something like this. He says, I don't subscribe to David's ministry because of his lifestyle and lack of integrity. He says, David had no morals and therefore was disqualified for ministry. And I was with a couple of other pastors, and immediately myself and another pastor said, no, you got it all wrong. I said, because the story of David has nothing to do with David. It has to do with a God that uses broken vessels. It has to do with a God that can rescue you in time of trouble. It has to do with a God that looks at your mess and steps into it and helps you and builds you and restores you and grabs you and pulls you some more. And even when you don't know how to go, he even pulls you some more. So Jesus says that you would, that 70 times 7, somebody will fall and the Lord will pick him up. Scripture teaches us that the wicked falls once, but that the righteous falls many. You know why the righteous, what is the difference between the wicked and the righteous? The wicked falls once because he stays down and can't get back up. But the reason the righteous keeps falling and falling and falling is because he keeps getting up. He keeps pushing through. He keeps trying to make it right before the Lord. And the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, just keep on swimming. Just keep on swimming. Get to your destination because I have something for you. But if you give up, you will not arrive. There is something about someone who has gone through hell and got to the other side. It is one thing to hear about God, and it's another thing to have an experience with the God Almighty. In the middle of his mess, Job said, my ears had heard of you. In other words, you were exterior information, exterior knowledge. It was just a sound. He says, but now my eyes have seen you. Now I have had an experience with you. Oh, church, there is something about pushing through in some of the most difficult times of your life. When David writes the Psalms, he is down and out. He's broken. He is grieving. He's feeling the distance between God and himself. And he realized that he is wrong. And he repents before the Lord. He opens his heart and confession through prayer. And I've struggled right up to this point with this message. Because oftentimes, in fact, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to mention any names. But a lot of the commentaries that I read about in preparation for today, every single one of them focused on everything that was wrong with David. I was trying to find inspiration, and I was even more depressed. I remember thinking, what hope do I have when the King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, and here we are in the future, and all they keep doing is talking bad about him? A man that God calls, a man after his own heart. What hope do I have if all I do is focus on what's wrong with his life? And as I thought about us here at the church, I was thinking the Holy Spirit reveals things to us all the time that you need to be working on and that you and I need to be repenting on and that you and I need to continue dealing with, because that's the job of the Spirit. In fact, I'm even going to go even a little deeper. If you don't hear the voice of God, maybe that's the thing that God is trying to get your attention about. Because the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit does what he is supposed to do, tap at your heart, deal with you and reveal things to you and tell you, yeah, that attitude you have today going into church, you got to check that at the door. yeah, you thought you had your, you know, oh, I just speak my mind. Well, you need to learn how to have self-control. There you go. Oh, ain't nobody going to hurt me again. Hello, you're hurting yourself with that stank attitude. The truth of the matter is that the Spirit of God tugs at us and helps us and reveals to us so that we can change, so that we can transform. And the truth of the matter is, when we look at David's prayer, we can say, oh, that's for them sinful people. Oh, that's for those people that do adultery and commit murder. And I want you to know that Jesus makes it even harder, because he says, if you hate somebody, you've already committed murder. So the truth of the matter, if anybody got hate in their heart right now,
I ain't saying nothing. It's none of my business. I'm just teaching the word.
There was a few things that David does to deal with this situation. The first thing to do, he talks to God about the seriousness of his sin. And you know, and he puts everything on the line and he confesses. Verse 1 through 3, if you read it later on your own time. But he talks about the seriousness of his condition. And the reason why I say that to you guys is because sometimes we forget to repent because it's not that serious. And nobody knows about my inner secrets. So I'm not even going to repent. No, it's not that bad, Lord. I just ate 50 cookies instead of two. You know, who am I really harming? It's just myself. You know me and pizza. The devil is a liar. Right, but the Spirit of God gives us self-control. The Spirit of God teaches us discipline. The Spirit of God ministers to our lives. The Spirit of God talks to us, and we continue to stumble on the same rock time and time again. And yes, we are covered by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. But just because you give me grace does not mean I don't have to repent. Just because you give me grace does not mean that I don't have to deal with my issues. That I don't have to deal with my life. That I don't have to listen to the voice of God. That when the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart and tugging at your soul and is telling you, hello, wake up. I'm telling you this. I'm talking to you about this. I'm dealing with you about this issue. And you keep on ignoring him. You are just as evil and as wicked as David was in that Psalms. Excuse me, not just you, me too. And I want to say that because as I was preparing for this message, the Lord kept on revealing things to myself about myself. And I kept saying, yeah, but I'm covered under grace. You are. Thank God for that. But it's almost like, you know, you're married or you know you have your parent. And your parent is never going to stop being your parent, but you keep acting a fool? Oh, it's okay. That's my mom. That's my dad. They'll get over it. Yeah, it's true. They will get over it, but that doesn't mean you're right. It doesn't mean you have to ignore the voice of God. It doesn't mean that. In fact, Scripture says that if you know how to do good and you don't do it, you're sinning already. So it's not just the bad things that we do. It's also the good things that we don't do. Listen to the words that David expresses. He uses transgression. My Puerto Rican accent is hard today. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Maybe I need to preach in El Español. Transgresión. Iniquidad. Pecado. Maldad. That's transgressions, iniquity, sin, evil. These are the words that David uses to describe his heart. These are the words that David uses and says, God, could you pluck all that mess out of me? In other words, David was saying, I know I messed up. And this is the rawness of my mess up. Can anybody ever talk to God like that? Right? Sometimes we come to God too reverent, you know, and the truth of the matter is the first thing to know is that God already knows what you're thinking. So just because you try to cover up with some religious rituals and vocabulary and attitude doesn't mean jack. God is already looking at you and says, I know what your heart is saying. I know what you're thinking. Just get it out your mouth. Come out your mouth, son. Right. Come out, talk about it. David starts talking about his mess. Think about this. You guys know I'm a contractor, and I learned this in construction. If I'm building a wall, and I'm off a quarter inch right here, by the time I get to where the end of this building is, that's many, many feet off track. It start out with just a corner little inch, but by the time this line is straight, but that quarter little inch, she's going this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And next thing you know, depending on how far it is, it could be miles of destination. And that's usually what happens with sin. And that's usually what happens with the things that we keep ignoring. Oh, Lord, it's just a quarter inch. It's small, Lord. It ain't that serious. And it's true, it's not that serious when it's a quarter inch. But if you let it go, that quarter inch turns to half an inch, turns to an inch, turns to a foot, turns to a yard, whatever it is. And it just keeps taking more and more control. And when you realize, there is more distance between you and God. And God is saying, I'm just trying to fix that wall. In my 30 years of serving the Lord, I've learned that authenticity, transparency, acceptance are all great places to start in order to grow spiritually and develop my character. David just starts talking about the rawness of his condition. And if there's one thing I've learned, church, is that we need to come to God with the rawness. You know, I can't deal with nothing that is not authentic and real. I could be the best counselor in the world, the best therapist in the world. I could have more degrees than a thermometer. And if you're lying to me, I can't help you. If you're just coming with a lot of gibberish, there's nothing I can do for you. And sometimes we in church folk, we come to God sometimes with that Christianese. You know, oh, brother, praise the Lord. And we need to deal with what's really in front of us. This is the ugly truth about my mess. Anybody could talk to God like that? I know there's three of you guys and two clapping. And I know this message is uncomfortable. But I also know that if we don't stop and listen to the voice of God, sometimes we need this checkup. Sometimes we need to stop and see, Lord, what is it that you're telling me? And why am I not listening? And what are the things that are distracting me? It says, I heard a quote somewhere. It says, distractions are, you don't realize that you're being distracted until you're distracted. We kept being entertained with sin, with things that don't benefit us. The Apostle Paul said, I can do everything, but not everything is beneficial. You can get involved in a whole lot of mess and think you're right and be all cut up and all messed up. Second thing David does is he talks to God about the origin of it. He goes directly to the root cause and he says, this is sin, human nature. Yeah, it's true. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Absolutely. But I would even say that as David is going back to the root cause, he's trying to identify what really happened here. How did I get off track? Anybody thought like that before? Like, what the heck happened? I used to love Jesus. I was so fired up for Jesus. And now I struggle to even get up to go to church. I struggle to open up my Bible. The only time I pray is when I'm in the car late running for work and I just take a few minutes to pray. And sometimes that prayer gets inspired by traffic when I say, God, if you don't move this car, right? Sometimes we don't stop and listen to the voice of God. Stop and just stop. And pay attention to what he's trying to tell you. Trust me when I tell you, you listen to the voice of God and you do what the Spirit of God is telling you in your life and you will not regret it. As a matter of fact, the longer it takes for you to accept and embrace what the Spirit of God is saying, the longer you will be in that mess and the longer you will be in that discomfort and the longer you would end up stumbling and rolling over into the same mess because you're not stopping the situation. You are progressing through the situation and it just keeps getting worse.
That's right.
Stop. Just say it with me. Say stop.
Stop.
Drop and roll. Just stop. Just deal with it. David says, man, I'm messed up, God. Listen to what Romans 5:12 says. Just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and this way death came to all men or humanity because all have sinned. That's Romans 5:12. We all sin. We all mess up. So this is not a judgment message because I'm saying this to myself too. As a matter of fact, this sermon is for me also. Because sometimes, if I'm being honest with you, sometimes I'm, you know, I pray every day, right? But sometimes it's just, I just go through the religious rituals of prayer, right? Sometimes it's just so I can check this off my list. And other times, it's I just can't even move. I can't even articulate words sometimes because the Spirit of God deals with me. And he wants to deal with you. And this is what the Spirit of God wants, is to have a relationship with you where he reveals things to you and you respond to the revelation. This is how we grow anyways. This is how we become more into the image of Christ, is by responding positively, sometimes even negatively, to whatever the voice of God is saying. Sometimes we just need to deal with whatever is in front of us. One of my ministry mentors from many years ago said this quote: sin will take you further than you're willing to go, cost you more than you're willing to pay, and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. Let me say that one again. Sin will take you further than you're willing to go, cost you more than you're willing to pay, and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. In doing this, David is not just seeking to excuse himself, but instead he's taking an honest, hard look at the truth about himself. God, I'm messing up, man. God, I keep doing this. He's like, Brittany, I did it again. What am I talking about specifically? Like, I'm not necessarily saying adultery and fornication, even though that may apply to some, I don't know, right? But I'm really talking about anything that the Spirit of God continues to reveal to you about a trouble area. It could be gluttony. You know, a lot of people talk about self-control and then you look at them and you're like, what's self-control? It could be self-control. It could be gossip. It could be a negative attitude, a stank attitude. Stank, you know what stank is, right? Yeah. It's like when you go to the DMV. sorry, let me get back. Sorry, they don't call it DMV here, right? They call it MVA. MVA. Next. You can go. Talking about that thing that the Spirit of God keeps tugging. You with me? Can you take a second and right there where you're at, don't speak it out loud, please. Hold it to yourself. You can speak it out loud in your brain. What is the Spirit of God revealing to you right now? What is he showing you as that thing that you need to deal with? Stop ignoring it. It's getting stronger. It's messing you up more. It's throwing you off track. I'm trying to minister to you. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to do something for you. I'm trying to bring you in, but you keep letting all that bitterness take control. You keep letting all the family wounds keep dictating your life. You keep letting what they did to you affect your destination. You keep walking around with an attitude, and the people that are around you are not at fault. Maybe you just keep stumbling on the same rock. Maybe you just keep... This is the Lord tugging. Is the Lord tugging at you? Is the Lord revealing something to you? Is the Lord showing you something that you need to let go of? Something that you need to change? Something that you need to surrender? It's the voice of the Spirit tapping, dealing, revealing, touching, trying to get your attention. Hello, I'm right here. There are many things that people around us think that we need to change, but nothing hits as home as when the Spirit of God reveals it. Y'all with me? Yeah. Like your wife can be nagging, your husband can be nagging at you about the same thing. Right? Your husband can be at it at the same thing. And God is saying, that's not even the root of the problem. This person, this exterior person, keeps revealing the root of the problem, maybe according to their advantage, maybe according to their experience, maybe according to their expectations. But the truth of the matter is, when the Spirit of God deals with you and reveals something, is anybody uncomfortable right now? Just a little bit. When the Spirit of God reveals that thing that we must change, that we must surrender, that we must do. Paul said it this way. He says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I know I have the desires to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do." Guess what? That's what I keep on doing. "Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I that do it, but it's the sin that is living in me that does it." So you're responding the way that a human being is supposed to respond according to the sin that is implanted in us from nature. God knows that. God is not freaking out about that. God is not, "Oh, how dare you?" Right? Paul is saying, "This is my issue. This is my situation." But God is saying, now what are we going to do about this? The first thing, this was number three, the things that happens is David pleads to God for mercy. He says, "Mercy, God, have mercy on me." He uses the word. You know, I thought about the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. We deserve what? Death. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve anything because we're evil. We're messed up. We're humans. Like, we just continue to do dumb things. That's what we as nature do. Right? And God shows you mercy. He says, "I'm not going to give you death. This is what you deserve. That's true. But I'm not going to do it like that. I'm not going to do you like that." Right? That's mercy. Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. You see the difference? One is God doesn't give you what you deserve, mercy. Grace is God gives you what you don't deserve. It's a free gift, salvation, forgiveness. Right? Some may think that David is audacious. How could he muster the courage to ask God for mercy from the one he actually offended directly? "Now have mercy on me?" Oh, now you want mercy. See, the thing is that he knew something about the nature of God. The goodness of God leads to repentance. You know what's the best way to repent to the Lord? Not when you feel bad or convicted. Conviction is good. It's good as the Holy Spirit. That's good when the conviction hits you. But he says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's when you realize, "Man, I keep spitting at you. I keep disrespecting you. I keep doing you wrong. And you continue to show me love. And you continue to show me mercy. And you continue to express your greatness to me." And usually in that point, is when we say, "God, I'm so sorry." Right? Is that repentance out of the goodness of the Lord. David was saying, in other words, he says, "This is who I am. I'm this person. But this is also who you are. You're this person." When I got married in the beginning, when my wife saw, who else am I going to get married to? With my dog? But my wife has no kids, right? And I have two. And when we first started, I used to talk about the things I needed to do because I was a dad. "Hey, babe, you know, this weekend I can't make any plans because I got to take care of my kids. You know, this weekend I can't spend some money because I have to take care of, you know, the responsibilities that I had as a dad." And then sometimes she would turn it back on me, and I used to tell her, "Well, baby, what do you want me to do? I'm a dad." And she would say, "I guess you're a dad, but I'm not a mom." And it hit me one time, like, my truth was 100% truth, but her truth was also 100% truth. And why is she being affected because of my 100? So what God is saying, he's saying, "God, this is my mess, but this is also who you are. You are a merciful God. You are a beautiful God. You are an amazing God." An old Westminster Confession puts it this way. He says, "There is no sin so small that it does not deserve damnation, but there is no sin so great that it is able to bring damnation on those who truly repent." Lastly, David pleads for internal transformation. He says, it's my time to reset now. And that's the verse where he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me, but restore unto me the joy of the salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Verses 10 to 12. You know what I notice about that? It says, create in me a pure heart. But in 1 Samuel, God says that he is a man after his own heart. Right? And I dealt with that for a moment. I was fighting with it a little bit because I was thinking, you know, it would be beautiful if I'm able to say, this is where God made him a man after his own heart. But that's not really what happened here. He was already a man after God's own heart. God is the only one that can speak something about you that you haven't even discovered. God starts showing you things about yourself. He's already a man after God's own heart. And David says, now, remember, you know that's why scripture says, what? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God already had made him a man after his own heart, but now he's coming to a point in his life where he's asking the Lord, hey, change my heart, transform my heart, make me a better person. I think that this is when David's character caught up to his calling. And I believe that that's what God wants to do with each and every single one of us. He allows the tension. He allows the discomfort. He allows the pain in our lives. He allows sometimes for us to second guess himself, for us to second guess him, or for us to sometimes mess up and do whatever it is. And it's only because God is allowing our character to catch up to our calling. Because he can't call you, or he can do whatever he wants, but there's a reality between the call and the fulfillment of the call. He's a man after my own heart, God said, but here he's saying, God, give me a new heart. Only God can speak something into you that you haven't seen yet. It says, because of the Lord's mercy, we're not consumed, but his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm wrapping things up for in a minute. There's two words in here that David uses when he starts asking God for a clean heart. The first word he uses is renew, right? The renewal of the mind involves the transformation of the way a person thinks and lives, which can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. That's it. Renewal. God, transform the way I speak. Transform the way I think. Transform the way I act. Just renew me. Be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. Right? Renewal. The second word he presses, he uses the word steadfast, which means to be fixed or firm in a direction or purpose, unwavering. The word steadfast in the original Hebrew... You see how I said that, right? Hebrew. I'm still going to butcher it. But I'm going to say it with a Puerto Rican accent so you won't know. Kesed. Say that with me. Kesed. I'm probably not sure that's how you pronounce it, but it's spelled like that. Kesed. And it refers to God's devout loving kindness, mercy, and faithfulness at the very core of his character and action. God was saying, I need a new heart. I need you to renew me. And I need you to make me steadfast. Teach me how to have your character. Teach me how to have your kindness. Teach me how to live faithful like you. Which, this is an Old Testament character, which is really the fruits of the Spirit in the New Testament. Right? God is saying, I'm trying to do this in you. I'm trying to pour this Spirit in you, and I'm trying to manifest my life in you, but you need to just stop, reflect, accept, and respond. So these are some applications. Admit to whatever God is revealing to you in the Spirit. Don't run from it. Admit to it. You don't have to admit to me. You don't have to admit to us. It's you and God. It's more powerful that way anyways. Admit to whatever God is showing you. And if you're new to the faith, You can do some practical stuff. You may not know how to do that, right? There's things that you can do by joining different ministries and different things in here that will help you to study and learn and grow. But once you admit to it, confess to it. What it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He says, when you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. 5, seek help. Seek help to help you overcome. And lastly, repeat, repeat, and repeat. And just in case I forgot, repeat. Because what I've learned about this faith is that every single day from now till we die, he who begun a good work in me will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Every single day of your life, you need to stop, reflect, admit, confess, repent, repeat. Time and time again. And it's not has nothing to do with salvation. You're good. You're saved. God knows what's up. You're covered. Has to do with relationship now. That's it. That's why you have what they say later on. It says that later on you see a scripture where it says there's people that says, oh, Lord, but in your name we cast out demons. Not in my name, player. I don't know who you are. Right? Other times the disciples came to where there was all this demonic manifestations and the disciples showed up and the demons was like, oh, Paul I know, whatever, Jesus I know, but who are you? Right? So now I'm saying to you, who are you? Are you letting the Spirit of God transform your life and letting him restore your souls and letting him deal with those areas in your life that you haven't been letting him deal with, that you keep ignoring them because it's only a quarter of an inch? And God said, I'm trying to save you now. I'm trying to help you now. I'm trying to change your life now. Is this helpful to anyone? God, whatever it is that you're revealing to us about our lives, about our pain, about our discomfort, about our mess, about our sin, about our brokenness, about our humanness, things that just keep hitting in the way of what you are trying to do. God, my humanness continues to get in the way. And God, I want you to pluck it out. God, I think of Paul, when he says, Lord, 3 times I've asked you to move this away from him, from me. Take this away from me. And you respond, my grace is sufficient. Okay, God, I know your grace is sufficient. But I want to honor you. We want to honor you. We want to be in communion with you. We do not want to be distant from you. And today, although we know the Spirit is not leaving us, I could say like David says, return the joy of my salvation and take not your Holy Spirit from me. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.